Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue, and my cohort in creepitude, as always, is the amazing Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, my friend. We have a female creep today. That doesn't often happen. The idea was we both saw this documentary on HBO Max called The Way Down, and I said, we've got to talk about this shit because this woman... Wowzers. I guess I should start off by saying we always end the episodes with a non-creep if this is your first time, so you don't leave feeling completely despondent about the world.
Yes.
You can find us on social media. We do have a basic Facebook page. That's where people go to complain about our language. You probably already left after I said shit, but... We have a private Facebook group. We do try to keep it safe, so we do have a few questions you need to answer before you can come on in, but it's a great place to hang out. I love our Facebook group. They are the best.
Me too. It's the only thing I go to Facebook for.
Yeah, same here. Also for Book versus Movie. But anyway.
Yes, of course.
We are found on Twitter at CreepPod because somebody had What a Creep on Twitter for 10 years and never used it.
Creep.
We are on Instagram, What a Creep Podcast, and we have an old-timey email. If you have comments, suggestions, ideas for creeps, non-creeps, or if you would like some stickers,
send us an email. They're so cute.
And they are so cute. Send us an email at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. And I want to say thank you to the people that just joined our Patreon page, Jen, Jenny, and Anastasia. I just started putting up season 3. So up there we have seasons 1, 2, 3. We put out 2 bonus eps a month, and we also put out a newsletter that Sonia puts together, and she's awesome that way.
Yes, check your email this weekend and check your spam folders. It's coming.
And I want to thank the following people for leaving us 5-star reviews in iTunes. Joanne and Sue King, y'all are amazing. Thank you so much. Oh, I also want to give a shout out to a few other podcasts because they mention our show or they talked about subjects that are similar. That's Southern Fried True Crime and Book of Lies podcast. They did an episode about Gwen Shamblin Lara a couple of weeks ago. I haven't listened to it, ladies, only because I want to do it my own way, but then I'll definitely listen to it when we're done. We try not to rip off other people, being my point. Do you want to talk about the website?
Yes, I do. It's everything you ever wanted to know about our podcast, but were afraid to ask. It's at whatacreeppodcast.com, and it also has a link to our merch shop where you could get t-shirts and masks and journals, tote bags, whatever you want to put our face on, you can do it. I'll make some new designs for some face masks. I think we've got maybe next year, and we've got like, was it vaxxed and masked?
Mm-hmm.
Masked and vaxxed, I forget. But I'll come up with some new ones for 2022 as well.
And also we were talking about for Patreon members of having a holiday card. Y'all seem to really enjoy getting that last year, so we'll try to get that out as well.
Yes, I love making holiday cards.
She's so talented.
I don't know if that's true, but thank you.
Are we ready to talk about this creep?
Yes, I'm so ready. And I'm going to really, really try to keep my hair comments to a minimum, but it might be really hard. I don't want to look shame people, but damn, girl.
It's hard. She doesn't make it easy.
No. Let's do it.
Gwen Henley Shamblin Lara was the founder of a popular Christina diet. Like it's Christina Aguilera diet. I would go on that diet, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Christian diet. It was a program called The Way Down, and her followers were instructed to use God as their guide in order to lose weight and overcome eating issues. This also led her to start her own ministry called The Remnant Fellowship, which along with her best-selling books and popular online programs and festivals, she had festivals, they made her a very wealthy woman. For years, she dodged rumors that she ran a cult and took advantage of her followers. Here's a big spoiler. On May 29th, 2021, she died in a plane crash along with her second husband, Tarzan and Manhattan actor, Joe Lara,
That was bananas.
We'll get to him.
Yes.
Unfortunately, her son-in-law, Brandon, Hannah, and several members of her church, they were on their way to a MAGA rally when this happened.
Wait, are you serious?
No, I'm dead serious.
They were on their way to a Trump rally?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, it's ironic because she was working on on episodes about greed. We'll get to that. HBO Max produced 3 episodes for a series called The Way Down. 2 more are due next year. We're sorry. I know you can't get this everywhere in the world, but HBO Max, according to their website, they're putting out apps that are good all over the world. So maybe steal from a friend. I don't know. But they exposed many of the more unsavory aspects of her life. Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to talk about this mysterious leader with the incredible head of hair.
Mm-hmm.
And what is happening with her ministry today. And our trigger warnings are church cults, eating disorders, and child abuse. That part's really tough, you guys. Well,
super tough.
We're going to be as thoughtful as we can. We want to be honest, but we also just want to be respectful. These are my sources. Of course, Wikipedia. NBC News Nashville reporter Phil Williams has been on this case for 2 decades now. People Magazine. We love People Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
The Tennessean, they've also been on this for a while. Bustle, Esquire, NBC News, The Baptist Press. Yep.
Mm.
Christian Courier, I've been doing a deep dive.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, I have. Atlanta Journal-Constitution, The New Yorker, and also I actually purchased and read The Way Down Diet by Gwen Shamblin, 2002. Oh, yes, I've got thoughts.
Oh,
and in our notes, we, by the way, link to all these in our show notes, the Remnant Fellowship YouTube channel. Y'all check it out if you're curious. There's a lot there. Okay,
I can't wait to hear all this. I'm so excited.
Oh boy, is this great. Gwen Henley Shamblin Lara was born February 18th, 1955, near Memphis, Tennessee, and was raised in the Church of Christ. She doesn't dwell too much on her upbringing or her past. She got married pretty young, right out of college. But let's suffice to say, she grew up religious and believed in living a biblically oriented life. In college, she went to the University of Tennessee and majored in dietetics. And then she went to Memphis State University for her master's in food and nutrition. She is not dumb, and she has the education to back her up. They had this thing called the Freshman 15, which is a way of shaming girls who go to college.
Yep.
You struggle with your weight gain because it's the first time you're living outside of your home. You're living on dorm food. Let's be clear, most of us are drinking. Eating pizza.
I have a similar thing. That's what I've been calling the COVID-19.
Yes.
Which is the good 19 to 20 pounds I put on in the pandemic.
Well, this was a topic. I mean, people always, and especially with girls, you know, people always have to watch women's weight. Anyway, let me just get to her. In 1978, she married divinity student David Shamblin. And before she had kids, she worked for the Tennessee Department of Health and was a registered dietitian. Once again, smart person with a lot of education behind her. She had this obsession with studying the habits of naturally thin people and why some people can never seem to lose weight. That's always the conundrum that dietitians are trying to solve. In 1980, she began a practice of basically teaching intuitive eating. Now, do you know what intuitive eating means?
A little bit.
Okay.
So please describe.
Let me elucidate for you.
Yes.
Basically, it's eating when you're hungry and eating what you feel. If you crave fried chicken, have some fried chicken. Don't just get a boneless, skinless chicken breast with like no dressing. You're just going to want fried chicken later. If you're feeling, before you eat, ask yourself, is this a good time to eat? Am I eating because I'm upset? Am I eating because I'm anxious? Yes, yes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the answer is always yes.
But people who are naturally thin or have a decent metabolism, usually they just listen to their hunger cues. And that's all that is. And this has been going around for decades that people have known about this. In 1986, she created the Way Down Workshops, and way is spelled W-E-I-G-H, and then she puts the cross at the end of workshop, the T. It's very hard to read in her books. Yeah, it's anyway. And it began first as non-religious settings, like in malls and at schools and things like that. In the 90s, she turned her program to a full-on religious one that stated, all of your thoughts about food, you need to turn those thoughts to God. Let God take over and you will be healed of your food addiction. So let's say you are upset or sad or whatever, and you're like, I need some cupcakes right now. Just pray to God. Just give it to God. Give it to God. Yeah. And if you do this...
What would Jesus eat?
Note. Okay, we'll get to Jesus in a second. That's a whole other ball of wax we're dealing with here. There's no diets. There's no calorie counting. There's no excessive exercise. Just pray and only eat when you're hungry. Okay. Simple as that. And she started offering classes, workbooks, audiobooks in the Bellevue Baptist Church. And then eventually the program grew across the country, U.S. and Europe. And by 96, she had 250,000 participants around the world.
Wow.
Yeah. And they were paying about $100 a piece.
Yeah. I mean, don't underestimate how desperate people are to be thin, to feel worthwhile, to feel valuable in society. I mean, as women, I know that you and I also think, we probably think about food all the time and feel bad when we eat. And here's a woman who's tapping into that.
She would say that, oh, I'm helping people get healthy. And she had some successes.
Sure.
I mean, yes. Is she buying into the diet culture and the patriarchy? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In 97, she had a huge bestseller called The Way Down Diet Book, and it sold over a million copies. And this is around the time she started thinking, I need to have my own church, because she was questioning about the Holy Trinity. Do you know what the Holy Trinity is?
That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, right?
Yep. Or Holy Spirit.
Got it. And, right.
Right. Gwen started thinking that God was the most important part of that triangle, right? So why not just focus on God? You know, the Holy Ghost can't stop God from doing anything or stop Jesus from doing anything. And Jesus is the Son of God. So just like head straight up, just go to God and make your mission all about God.
Hello, Jesus. I'd like to talk to your manager.
It's a very Karen way to approach things. Mm-hmm. This caused, I read so many things, this caused a shitstorm of controversy in the Christian community. She was dropped by her publisher, Thomas Nelson. She was criticized by the magazine Christianity Today. Many of her friends and coworkers dropped her because of this. And I was reading at this time, this is like 2000, 2001, when she started doing her own thing, very condescending. Like, oh, this pretty little lady probably knows a lot about diets, but she doesn't know about the Bible, does she? It's very, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she decides to make her own religion and call it the Remnant Fellow Church in Franklin, Tennessee. And she's just going to have her husband run it. Once again, he was in divinity training. Within 5 years, they made so much money, she was able to build her dream church on 40 acres in Brentwood, Tennessee.
Do you think any of this had to do with she just didn't want to pay taxes anymore?
Well, this is something we should mention. The founder of Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard, said, you know, you want to get rich and famous, just start a religion. Because you don't have to pay taxes. You can say whatever you want. And nobody has to know what you're spending it on. You know, if you have a business, you have to show this is how much you spend on employees. This is on insurance. This is on rent, blah, blah, blah. It's a church. You could just make it up as you go. And she had all these people around the world who were following her. She was still publishing books and selling them. There was one called Rise Above. There's the Exodus Devotional. In her book, she doesn't mention her family that often. Her husband starts becoming more and more behind the scenes. Because here, get this, he was really uncomfortable with the money aspect. He didn't think it was very Christ-like to want possessions and to spend money on homes. He thought if we're going to make...
Interesting.
He said, if we're going to have all this money, we should be sending people on ministries like the Mormons do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no, I like a big house. Thank you.
I want a big house for my big hair.
We'll get to the hair. Just cool your jets. When it comes to her kids, she has one story in her book that I read, and all it was about raising parents. This is her big thing. She told them they weren't allowed to wear more than four colors at one time.
She would hate my guts.
I warn you instantly. I'm like, oh. She never...
You could do whatever you want. Just can't wear more than four colors.
She swears that they were very well behaved because they honor their mother and father, but also that she never gave them an eating disorder problem. They could eat Easter candy. They could get Easter candy and it would last all summer because they naturally never overindulged. Is this the phoniest of balonies? Probably. But
yes,
that's what she's saying. When the September 11th attacks happened in 2001, she told her congregation it was because of sin throughout the world and they were safer staying with her. Also,
creep.
During the 2000s, she started making very big TV appearances, including The Today Show with creep Matt Lauer, who in the intro claimed that these people are offering the idea for permanent weight loss. Guys, there's no such thing as permanent weight loss. Nobody has that answer. Even if you get surgery, whatever, there's no such thing.
You know what permanent weight loss is? Death.
Death.
It's death.
That's pretty much it. The Tyra Banks Show did a whole episode about her. She was featured in dozens of women's magazines. No one seemed to ask her about her church because they really cared about weight. They just want to see people with their big pants. Like, look at me. I used to wear this. Now I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is that the services at Remnant were notable because they included the entire family. When I was a kid going to church in Glen Cove in St. Pat's, they had this room at the back of the church. There was the soundproof booth. The babies, screaming babies would be in there.
Cry room.
The cry room.
We had a cry room. Yes.
No cry room here. If your kids are screaming and crying, it's because you're not controlling them well. Okay.
Sure.
Kids were expected to be obedient at all times. And even when the services went for up to 3 hours, they had to be perfectly behaved.
That's ridiculous, by the way.
Yes,
it is. It's like unrealistic. That is a lot to ask of
anybody.
Grown-ass adults and kids. They're kids.
And when they're serving and they're praying, they have to be totally hunched over. It's very, very creepy. Now, this part is super dark. I'll try not to. Yeah. Okay. In 2003, two members of the Atlanta chapter, Joseph and Sonia Smith, would go to workshops and events, and they would show off their big weight loss and how the church has helped them become better parents. They would go on stage and Gwen would say, hey, tell everybody how much weight you've lost and how you're doing. Gwen said one time to a room full of children, whoa, Max is ready for this. To a room full of kids, the way you show God you're answering him is through obeying your parents, your mother and your father on the first time. If you obey them the second or third time, you are being your own God. And no one playing around like that can ever go to heaven. So you will only live a few years on earth and you will live a horrible afterlife. If you don't obey your mommy and daddy on the first try, you will be taken out and you will be very, very sorry.
That
is fucked up.
It's so fucked up.
Do you know how many stupid people have children out there? Like
so many. So many stupid people.
Ugh, okay.
Yeah.
So Joseph and Sonia had a boy named Joseph. He was their middle child, and he was labeled a problem child because he had behavioral issues. With the spare the rod, spoil the child ethos, the Smiths weren't told by Shamblin it was okay to hit the kids with glue sticks and wooden spoons, anything to help keep them in line.
So awful.
The Smiths called into Gwen's radio program, and this is all on tape. She recorded everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that not only did they use a glue stick to beat their son, but also belts and heated coat hangers.
That poor kid.
Yeah. They would also lock him in his room for days and just leave him a bucket for a toilet to punish him.
This part of the documentary just made me cry. My heart was absolutely broken for this kid, this poor kid. Kids depend on their parents to be good people and take care of them. And just, okay.
So one weekend, and this happened, by the way, soon after their 11-week-year-old child died of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. Joseph was beaten, and then he was locked in a wooden box and left there. On October 8th, 2003, he had died of his injuries. It was one of the worst cases of abuse the police had ever seen.
So awful.
The church paid for the legal expenses of the parents who were tried for murder. The remnant lawyers who came from Tennessee to Atlanta on the dime of the church, they claim that Joseph died of eczema.
Yes. Such fucking bullshit.
That the eczema caused bruises and made him sick.
No.
The parents were sentenced to life plus 30 years. There was no way to prove that Remnant was responsible, though they tried to. They tried to find it, but the media in Nashville was on to Gwen pretty much from the start. And she appears several times to answer charges about abuse, about running a cult. At one point, she talks about how it's okay to starve people because it helps them lose weight. She goes, you know, like prisoners of war. You know how they always become skinny?
They're so lucky. They're so skinny. I mean, you were a prisoner of war and that sucks. But look on the bright side. You're so skinny now.
You're so svelte now. Look at it. You can wear anything. Also on her talk show appearances, including the Today Show and the Early Show, she claims she can cure depression. She does not like antidepressants, by the way, or antidepressant medications, I mean. She can cure addiction to drugs. She can cure addiction to video games, alcohol, and pornography. She can also cure you of homosexuality if you join her church.
Oh, yay.
So guess how many PFLAG members are there?
She fucking sucks.
She really sucks. Her two kids, Michael and Elizabeth, they took on a bigger role in the church as they got older. And this is while their father is taking a back seat and he's rarely seen. And it should be said, in this culture, women are not leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Men are the leaders. Men are the people who run everything. And she has a board and it's got a lot of men on it, but Gwen's in charge.
Yeah, it's all men, right?
Right. It's all men.
Yeah. But she's the boss.
She's the boss. Her husband was, like I said, taking a back seat, and they had these yearly special events. So they had this festival, and you would go in, it'd sing, and you were supposed to, as a member, you were supposed to do anything you can to get there in Tennessee, and you had to give a gift. And so people would show up with like loaves of bread or flowers or, you know, handmade things. And they were basically told, nah, we'll just take cash. Thanks.
It's so fucked up.
Michael has issues with alcohol and drugs over the years. And some of the YouTube clips of him, believe me, are heartbreaking.
Yes.
His weight goes up and down. And then he leaves for a while and then he comes back. He has a lot of issues. In one of the clips, he's on stage and his mother's interviewing him and his brother-in-law and somebody else. And he's in a shirt and a tie and a jacket. And the tie is just so askew and his shirt's like unbuttoned. He looks like he's sweaty. He's like not there. Mm-mm. And she has him on stage like, yeah, God's great. And, you know, this program is great. And we're all so close. And it's heartbreaking.
It is. I'm like, they're struggling and it's still like, no. And now trot your ass out on stage and pretend like everything's fine.
Or if you're fat, don't go on stage because nobody wants to see you.
Correct.
Which is what happens with her husband and him. Anybody in the church, like you're meant to be as thin as you could possibly get. Like Tracy Anderson, like that kind of thin, like super thin. And if you start gaining weight, they get on your case. What did you do wrong? Are you praying enough? Are you causing problems for other people? It's a real hassle for them if you gain any weight.
I just can't. I mean, I can see how people would fall into this because as someone who... I I love food, and I like, this is something like I struggle with. We all, like so many women, like I feel like if we stopped worrying about food and our weight, we would have fucking cured cancer by now. Like yeah. We focus so much attention on this that I could see how people could fall into this. And that's why this creep makes me so angry.
It's not just women, though. It's the men, too.
For sure.
They're all expected to be thin. They're all expected. And if they fall off the wagon, everybody gets on your case. David, after a while, her husband isn't seen. He stops going to church altogether. And a lot of people think it's because he's a big guy, mm-hmm. which is against her message. Elizabeth, her daughter, would go on to have 4 kids with husband Brandon Hannah. Their youngest, Henley, was his name. He died of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, when he was 5 months old.
Oh, that's sad.
Which is horrible. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. The strange thing, though, is like nobody mentioned it. And the only way they talked about it was sort of like, what did you do to bring this wrath upon her? Did somebody do something in the church to make this happen? Everyone's sort of feeling guilty and terrible. Was it me? Was it you? I've been taking my pills lately. Maybe I shouldn't have. And Elizabeth becomes skinnier and skinnier. She's just gaunt.
Yes.
And looks emotionally distant. Anyway, let's fast forward to more recent history. And as Gwen is, if you see pictures of Gwen in the early 2000s, in the 90s, 80s, she looked like a prim and proper Southern lady. She would wear suits, and she had a bit of a bump in her hair. You know, a little bit of a tease going on, but nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing insane. She's Southern. Mm-hmm. In 2017, Joe Lara shows up on the scene. Joe is an actor whose biggest success was a TV movie called Tarzan in Manhattan, which came out in 1989.
I have never seen it. Have you seen it?
No, I saw the clips in the show.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you're all
good.
I got it.
I get the gist. I'm not a big Tarzan fan. I don't know why. It's just never been that interesting to me. Anyway, he had a child with a former partner, and they were living in Nashville because when he didn't make it in acting, he thought, maybe I'll be a country music star. And where else would you go? Mm-hmm. When they break up, she wants to move to Chicago because that's where her family is. And she figures they'll help her raise her baby. It'll be a better place for her versus Nashville. He was so upset about this that he accused her of sexual abuse of their daughter.
He's such a fucking creep.
It cost her hundreds of thousands of dollars to win back her full rights. I mean, eventually she became her own lawyer and fought for that. But it was like a huge hurdle she had to overcome.
Yeah. She seems smart as fuck, by the way.
She does. Like, yeah.
I was like, good for her, man. I was like, that daughter is so lucky to have such an awesome mom.
Mm-hmm. At this time, he's working as a handyman for the church. And this is when Gwen notices him. All of a sudden, he's working around her all the time. Max is
sorry.
Like, some shit's going on.
Yeah.
Rumors are flying around. Gwen is changing the way she dresses. She's wearing sleeveless dresses and strapless tops and stuff like that. Showing her shoulders, you know, showing more leg.
Ooh.
And her hair is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I mean, the first couple of years of the B-52s big. Like,
it's so big.
Gigantic. It's not a joke. I mean, she really left her home looking like that. And I would say, it's an expression my mom used to say, it looks like she was shoved through a hedge backwards. Like she was just coming home from a wild night. Like it was so...
It is...
Ridiculous.
Unreal. I had never seen this person before. I'd never heard of her.
Yeah.
And I saw the like image, the promotional image for the documentary. And I was like, what the fuck? With the hair. And I was like, oh, it must be like exaggerated... for the image, you know, to like sell the documentary. And then I watched the documentary and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? It is comically big, her hair. And the fact that she's like, yeah, this is fine.
Yeah,
this is fine.
Great. I'm sexy.
Yeah, is it? And I know, like, is it because if you have hair that big, you look smaller? Maybe? I don't know the thought process, basically. I can't wrap my head around it.
I don't know. And I don't know if she thinks it makes her look younger, because he's a few years younger than her.
Yeah.
But this is like her, she's changing the way she dresses. She's really getting mm-hmm. flamboyant with the hair. It was always flamboyant, but it's like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Like cotton candy world.
Yes. And no one in her, like in her life is clearly comfortable enough to say, you look like an insane person.
Well, she got all this for free. That was a thing about when you were there at Remnant. And it's, like I said, it's 40 acres. She would, she would have you could do her nails. You could do her hair. You could cook for her. Like all these ways are ways of you paying the church if you didn't have actual money.
Well, someone played a joke on her.
I think so. I think that was someone throwing shade. I think that was someone like, bitch, you want a free hairdo? I'm going to make you look like a fucking idiot. And I'm going to see if anybody yeah. calls you out for it.
Nope.
Gwen files for divorce. By the way, this was forbidden in her church. She made a lot of people stay in
yes.
lousy marriages for years because she doesn't want anybody to leave, you know? Mm-hmm. And she also really believes a man should control the woman, and the man is the center of the house and he's the leader and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
She tells David, I want a divorce. I'm going to marry this guy. And he didn't want a divorce. But she said, nope, you have no choice.
Yeah. The rules don't apply to her.
No. So the divorce happens in June of 2018. In August of 2018, she marries Joe in a lavish ceremony, which you can see for yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 3-minute clip on YouTube. It's ridiculous. You're like, how
for
old
sure.
are you? It's like you're 60
yeah.
years old and you're acting.
Exactly.
Like
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, this looks like one of those, like, my sweet 16 parties
yes.
you used to see on MTV. You're like, what the fuck?
Joe takes quickly to the finer things in life. He likes flying the private planes. They have a YouTube channel, Joe and Gwen, where they would answer questions about the dumbest things ever. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately, he's there. It's changing the dynamic of the church. Very quickly. I mean, they had this couple of years and people were saying Gwen's going away more often. They're taking a lot of vacations. She has a home in Florida. She has a home in the islands in the Pacific. She's got a home there. And they're taking off and they're scubaing and they're doing all these other things. On one day, they were off to a Trump event. And this,
sorry.
The plane crashes on their way to the Trump event. Now, what happens is that it was a total surprise. She was like 66.
Yes.
She wasn't old. It's obviously these things are shocking. And it's so crazy because there's this one person on the show. He talks about his daughter was totally a part of this cult. And mm-hmm. she was set to get married that day.
Yes.
They find out in the morning that Gwen's probably dead. The plane's down. They can't find it. And she tells her dad, yeah, I want to get married anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which I'm like, kind of like, good. Don't let her ruin your
yeah.
wedding day. Gwen's
it's like a plane crash on your wedding day.
Like rain. The children now take over her church. And recently, just recently, a couple of weeks ago, Gwen's will was made public. Big surprise. She left nothing for the church.
Oh, surprise.
Though she often said throughout her tenure that she was always putting money back into Remnant. And she was actually in the middle of a video series on the evils of greed. How ironic.
Yes.
She said in the video, most of the world has abandoned true religion and are now converts to building up their own pocketbooks. Yet God is a God for justice and he will not be mocked. This woman was on her way to a Trump.
To
rally.
A Trump. I know. Can you think of anyone like more fucking greedy about building up their own brand than Trump? And she's like, yeah, I'm in.
Also, it turns out she had paid her ex off $3 million in cash. She has several properties, like I said, all around the world. They're all worth millions and they're all in individual trusts. So the church didn't get a penny. Now, probably the kids have it. That's what I would think.
Right.
But that was in just a few weeks ago. HBO put out 3 episodes of The Way Down. And because her death happened so recently, they were editing it when they died. And that's when the producers got contacted by a ton of people like, whew, they're gone. Now I can tell you my real fucking story.
Yes.
And there will be new episodes in early 2022. But that is our creep today, Gwen Shamling Lara, excuse me.
Good job, Margot.
She was, wow.
Yes. That documentary is really, really good. And they say there's going to be two more. And I'm like, I bet there could be more.
There's
two episodes.
There's so much to unpack here. I mean, it's just, you know, the diet culture, the misogyny, just being a cult, the worship of money and greed and appearances. And this is my being not kind, but I'm like, didn't they have Botox there? Like, why didn't you just get a facelift? Why did she? I think she did that instead of a facelift, the hair.
That could make sense. I see
she
that.
Could be somebody that's like really nervous about surgeries or something like that.
It's also interesting that she would even do stuff like that, because then couldn't you just be like, well, maybe God wants you to look older.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not praying enough, Gwen.
But there's these videos of the two of them, Joe and her, and he's like following her around. He's doing that thing where he's on his hands and knees and following her around like a bear. And she's like, oh, like she's like a little. It's so silly. There are so many, like, you can go to their YouTube page. It's like they have so many clips there. It's Remnant Fellowship. And they turned off the comments probably for a good reason.
Yeah, I'm sure. She's such a fucking creep.
Yeah.
Such a good job. Do you want to hear about someone who's not a creep?
Yes, please.
Okay. Have you read, watched, or listened to Brené Brown?
Oh, yes, I have.
Me too. If you don't know who she is a writer, a public speaker, podcaster, and she does a lot of talks about courage and shame and vulnerability and empathy. And I just think that I think we can all agree these are the world could use a lot more of those things. Mm-hmm. And unlike our creep, I think Brené Brown actually helps people. Like, she teaches people that being vulnerable and having empathy is actually brave. She's written several bestsellers. There's the one called Dare to Lead, which I'm listening to right now, The Gifts of Imperfection, Daring Greatly, You Are Your Best Thing. That's another one I need to read. She has two podcasts, one called Dare to Lead and Unlocking Us. She has a TED Talk called The Power of Vulnerability. It's super popular. And then she has The Call to Courage. It's on Netflix. And what I love is that she, like I said, she talks about vulnerability and empathy and how she uses that to speak to organizations. Like, it's not just, and now I'm going to do Oprah's book club. Like, she actually goes and like talks to like these big organizations. So she's actually like met with all the people at Pixar, which I think is amazing because these are people making movies that our young people see.
And about empathy.
Their stories are so much about empathy and being vulnerable. And I love that she did that because they can shape the way our kids think. And adults, by the way. I don't know anyone who saw Up, by the way, and didn't make it through the first 15 minutes without sobbing like a little baby. Like,
is Coco the one about death?
Yes.
Oh my God, that one just completely wrecks me.
I think Pixar movies, they hit a lot of people in soft spots, like Inside Out. Mm-hmm. Does that the Toy Story movies, you know, definitely do that. So she spoke with Pixar, she spoke with Google. I think she needs to go back and talk to Google. I think she needs to go talk to some people at Facebook. And she's also met with the U.S. Special Forces, which I think is really cool. And she just signed a deal with HBO Max, and she's going to do an unscripted series based on her book that's coming out, I think, in like 2 weeks, called Atlas of the Heart. And it's going to be exploring stories about emotions and the experiences that define us and what it means to be human. And I'm like really looking forward to that. And here's a little background. Her name, her full name is Cassandra Brené Brown. She was born November 18th, 1965 in San Antonio, Texas. And she was, she still is pretty active in the church. She was baptized in a, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right, Episcopal church.
Pentecostal?
Yes, thank you. See, I'm not even close, y'all, but I could spell it. She moved to New Orleans and she was raised Catholic and then converted back with her husband. They have two children and she's still really active in that church. And now she's in Houston. She has a bachelor degree in social work. She got a master's degree in social work. And then now she's a doctor of philosophy also in social work. Like, she's fucking smart as hell. And she has used that to what she's described, get over a poo-poo platter of addictions. That's her words. Love alcohol and smoking, emotional eating. And she had an addiction to control, she says. And she's taken a lot of her own lessons and applied them to her life. And if you see her speak, if you watch her TED Talks, if you listen to her podcast, like, she's real. She swears. So if you don't like salty language, maybe she's not for you. But obviously we fucking love salty language. So she really wants to help people. And I think she really does. And you can hear people talk about what she's done for them, help them put into words things that they could not explain before. She's awesome. She's the real deal. And she has not started a cult yet, which I think is really great because she really, because I think she could. I really think she could because she has people that are like their stands, like they fucking love Brené Brown, but she's not that kind of person. And I just think she's really great and she's our not a creep.
That is the perfect choice, Sonia.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, you guys, follow us on all of the things social media wise. Join our Facebook group, follow us on Twitter, Instagram. We love it when you use the GIF of Annie Potts in Ghostbusters. We got one, but you can use anything else. Any of you, if you're clever, you're all clever people. Our email is whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. We love it when you send us suggestions for creeps, but also non-creeps, because sometimes that's the tougher thing for us to come up with, somebody that we could pair with the creep. Also, if you like the sound of our voices, we co-host a show called Dorking Out. Sonia, what are we going to be dorking out about next?
We are going to be destroying childhoods, and we are dorking out about Crocodile Dundee.
Ay, ay, ay. I'm watching that tonight.
Oy. I am too. I am too. I'm like, it's going to be something. I'll just say that. I watched a trailer for it just to give myself a little, like, don't forget, you're doing this tonight. And I was like, oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It's like, for me tonight, it's like the morning show and Apple Plus and then that. It's like it's just a cornucopia of crap. I don't know what I'm going to have to do to clear the lens, cleanse the palate or whatever.
Oh, my gosh. Is. Yes.
And Sonia, where can they find you?
You can find me at thesoniashow.com, where I'm actually writing again, y'all. It's happening. And you can find me at The Sonia Show on Twitter and Instagram. And TikTok. It's mainly videos about my dogs. Where can people find you, Margo?
You can find me on social media at Twitter and Instagram. My site is brooklynfitchick.com. Let me do that again. Sorry. I don't know why all of a sudden I'm like all loopy. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at brooklynfitchick. That's also the name of my site. Once again, thank you all so much for listening to our show. Be good, be kind, be vulnerable, be empathetic. Don't be a creep.
Creep.
Thank you for listening to us talk about creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.